Time now for the Danny Mac Show with BK, getting you inside the Cards and St. Louis sports on 101 ESPN.
Hey, this is a special day. It's a very special day as we close in on Christmas, Christmas Eve on Friday. Christmas
yeah,
will be set.
Bragging Rights Day, Dan.
You have rudely interrupted me in this massive intro I had for you. The newly married BK has returned. Now,
I apologize to many of you.
No. You have been missed. I think, Tanner, that we covered admirably, but yet we were missing our cohort in BK.
I'd agree.
We tried our best.
I'd agree.
Yeah. And then yesterday, you left us out on an island.
Listen, Dan, I wish I would have been here, too. Trust me, it was much better than what I was dealing with.
He's not the only one.
He was, quote-unquote, feeling under the weather coming home from his honeymoon.
I accidentally drank some of the water in the Dominican Republic. Don't recommend doing it. Don't recommend it at all.
You didn't do bottled water?
No, I did. I think when I was in the shower, this is just a guess. I don't know what happened.
You were drinking in the shower?
My assumption would be I was in the shower. I probably opened my mouth. Some of the water got into my stomach. My stomach did not respond kindly.
I think my assumption would be is that you were hungover.
Okay.
Let's just be honest.
Yep. There's probably some of that was mixed into it.
Thank you. So BK returns, and I do have a few questions for you, if you don't mind.
Yeah, please, Dan.
Okay.
There's nothing going on in sports. Normally, I would say let's get to whatever's happening. There's no.
There's plenty to get into, and we will. Luke Horak is going to be our guest at 10:30, as the NHL is not going to play in the Olympics, and we'll get an update on what's happening with the Blues and the NHL. So looking forward to that with Lou. And we have the Bragging Rights game. We got Mizzou, Illinois tonight. We got Missouri football in the Armed Forces Bowl against Army. They're at a 5.5-point underdog going into that game tonight.
Brady Cook getting the start. St. Louisan.
That's right. And no Beatty. So we'll see how they fare with that with their top running back not in action tonight. I have no problem with that, by the way, but we can talk about that. Okay, so first of all, the wedding. Everything you thought it might be. Did it turn out well?
And then some. As you know, Dan, from I'm sure your wedding experience and plenty of the people in our audience listening right now probably had a similar experience. There's a point in time where you're just like, okay, I'm just ready for the wedding to come and go. Like, I'm done with all of the planning. I'm done with hearing about how much we are spending on this thing. I'm ready for the wedding to be here so that way we
Understood.
Can move past this time in our lives, right? And so I got there probably two weeks ahead of the actual wedding itself. And you almost like are wishing away the time. And it stinks to say that, but it's true in some regard.
You just want to get it done.
Exactly. And then you get to the actual wedding itself, the rehearsal dinner, and then you see so many friends. And then you're just like the day after, you're legitimately sad because it's the first time I've seen a lot of those people in a really long time. We had 250 people that showed up. Almost everybody that had said they were going to be there, that RSVP'd, actually showed up, which is not always the case. It was an unbelievable 3 or 4 days because we had the rehearsal dinner on Thursday, and then we all hung out. A lot of the guys
did
on Friday.
A
place called Ruiz, a Mexican restaurant out in Florissant area. They had the whole restaurant opened up. It was the first time they've opened up since the pandemic, the inside of their restaurant. So we were kind of the guinea pigs for them. It was an amazing experience. Friday, a lot of the guys hung out at Big A's and then went over to Ameristar out in St. Charles. It was great. Won a little bit of money on blackjack. That was a fantastic night before the wedding. Unfortunately, there was also a tornado that touched down.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Which could have gone better.
Classic PKO right there,
so,
ladies and gentlemen.
I was out of town because I was going to go to your wedding, and I was going to try to race back, and we did try to get back, but the that Friday night, man, and thoughts and prayers and 100%. Godspeed to all those people that have suffered through it. Holy smokes, was that scary.
So I was
traveling right through that.
Yeah, I was getting ready to drive right into the tornado that touched down in St. Charles. We were at my now wife's parents, so my parents and my in-laws.
Yes,
we're at
that
their
would be
place.
The in-laws.
It's all new lingo for me, Dan. We're taking my dog over there because they were going to watch her while we had all of the people over for the wedding. So I was taking them over in Florissant, Hazelwood area. We get ready to leave. We're going back to St. Charles. Turn on the news because it's obviously bad outside.
Yeah.
and I'm listening to it, and they're like, well, we have a confirmed touchdown in the St. Charles area. I'm like, okay, maybe we'll be okay. We're going to Maristar. That's where we're heading. So it's right at 94 and 70. Looked over at my buddy who's in the car with me. Hey, Jeff, I think we're going to circle back to their place. We're going to stay there for a while. I make jest of it because it's the only way that you can, but seriously, it was a brutal night here in St. Louis,
no
weather-wise.
Question. Okay, so let's go to the wedding. Everything went off without a hitch, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Now let's go to the post game.
Uh-huh.
My man over here, Tanner, has the line of the year so far. So we came back from that weekend, and I'm hosting on that Monday. And I said, well, Tanner, give me a little play-by-play, you know, how'd it go? And he said, Saxy was cutting up a rug. He said Saxy was all over it.
Saxy was getting after it.
Yeah. And
I'm taking him to a bar with me.
And Tanner says, Tanner, what was your line? Go ahead and tell it.
I'm not sure if I remember exactly what I said, but it was something like, I went to BK's wedding and I went home alone.
Yeah, he said, I was very upset that I went home alone.
Hey, man, that's on you.
And I didn't expect to get that.
Not everybody had the same experience that Tanner did.
let's just draw the picture for the listeners. I mean, Tanner is 21, going on 12. 72.
And 12 also.
Yeah.
Heart of a 72-year-old, looks of a 12.
So I'm just like, you know, how'd it go? You know, how were things? And then he's like, well, it was kind of disappointing because I went home alone. Whoa. Hold on, Tanner. I mean,
stating facts, you know.
What would you say was the most common response when people, from my side of the family, from Kara's side of the family, a lot of her family listens to the station, when they saw you and met you for the first time, what do you think was the most common response?
I can tell you, I think the most common response, I actually didn't get a lot of the, wow, you're a lot younger than I thought. It was actually, oh, okay, just kind of recognize the name and put a face to it now, except for Keith. Keith's response was, to me, when I shook his hand after the wedding and introduced myself, he said, man, you really are younger than, you look younger than what they say you are. I said, all right, I'll take it.
Oh, that's
it
great.
It was amazing. Tanner came up to me after Keith said that to him. He was like, dude, your father-in-law just told me I look even younger than I sound. I was like, yeah, man, I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but it's accurate.
So, and I always felt like after our wedding, when I got married many, many years ago, it was kind of like once we got settled in on the honeymoon and even on the plane, we went to Hawaii. That was where we went. And we were just kind of sleeping and, you know, it was a long night. It's 48 hours, 72 hours of just nonstop, right? So you're just kind of catching up. Then you go to the beach and you're relaxing and you're kind of like replaying things in your head.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, did you see this guy or wasn't that cool or was it this fun and all that stuff? So my question to you, BK, did anybody make a complete idiot out of themselves at your wedding where you and Kara go, oh, man, did you see Joe Blow? I mean,
Tanner, did you see anybody that you felt like, wow, that guy looks like an idiot? Like, you don't have to name names, but
I don't remember anybody really
being
that.
Okay, so they all kept it on the rails?
Yeah, right. I didn't really know. I mean, so I will say one of the mistakes that I made in my my wedding planning, my signature drink was an Old Fashioned.
What's an Old Fashioned?
So it's whiskey with bitters and sugar, and depending on where you go, they might throw in either a cherry or the orange peel, right? This is a wedding venue, so it was basically just whiskey.
Yeah, right.
Just straight whiskey. What I didn't think about, so one of our party favors was we had a bunch of the plastic cups. If you've ever been to Columbia where Mizzou's at, you know, a lot of the bars have the plastic cups that they use, right? And we met at Mizzou, so that was kind of a throwback
to
that, right?
Yeah.
So we got like 500 plastic cups from a bunch of the different bars out in the Columbia area, and that's what we used for the night for people to drink out of. Easier than the glass, nobody's breaking anything, felt like the right thing to do. What I didn't think about is that they're like 22 ounces. So
big pours, 22 ounces, gotcha. Yeah.
It was basically
put two and two
ice
together
with a lot of Jim Beam.
That's,
is the way that they made the Old Fashioned that I asked for. So Kara's,
it's your wedding, man.
No, it was great. I didn't have any of them. I only went to the bar once. People were just bringing me drinks, basically just Mick Ultras all night long. But one of Kara's members of the family, we saw him the next morning. He looked rough. And I asked, hey, what's going on? How you feeling? He's like, man, those Old Fashions, I think I had seven of them.
Ooh.
Ooh. And by the end of the night, dang, I'm pretty sure I felt like I had seven of them. So that was the only mistake that I made in the wedding planning.
So 314. So every available girl was trashed, and Tanner still did not pick anyone up.
To be fair, a lot of them were taken.
Yeah, or at least that's what he said.
A lot of them were taken.
Yeah, Tanner though said to me,
"I was fearful."
He said, "I don't care if they're taken."
Yeah,
T-Bone is showing up.
I was fearful that
I believe that he said that.
And I had Jamie as a wingman, so of course.
Oh my goodness! Well, it's good to have you back, BK, and congratulations to
thank you
and Kara, and long, fruitful.
I've
awesome
got a ring
marriage
on my hand, Dan. This is a weird thing to have.
Did you play with it a lot? I always played
with
mine.
I do. It's a strange feeling. I've never been one to wear like rings or watches or anything on my hands or wrists, so it feels very heavy.
Yeah.
Strange.
Trust me.
Welcome to life, though, right?
It feels heavy for different reasons. Life's changed for you, buddy. In a good way, of course.
Absolutely. In only the best of ways.
So congratulations, man. Seriously, it's great.
Thank you. Thank you.
It was
unbelievable, what felt like probably for many people, 3 weeks of my life. For me,
we missed you, man.
About 10 days. It's great.
We missed you. Luke Korak is coming up at 10:30.
Back to more of the Danny Mac Show with BK on 101 ESPN.
All right, so BK is back from his wedding and honeymoon, and as many of you know, BK is a guy that follows Mizzou sports very closely. I wanted to get into this before we visit with Luke Korak coming up, and I think it could be a tough night for Mizzou. I would love to see him stay close with the Fighting Illini in basketball. Anything can happen in these bragging rights games when you get the atmosphere, and it is different. I've been to a ton of these, probably 15 of these games. And I always found that it was hard to judge how the game would play out, even when teams were heavily favored, because of the atmosphere. Now, I would imagine we've got probably 15 to 16,000 tonight, and maybe by the end of the night could be a lot of orange in the seats, you know, if there's a blowout going on. And Illinois is really good. That is a good basketball team. I'm not sold on Mizzou, obviously, at all.
No.
I actually think that they should just play the young kids. If Konzo's going to come back, I would play the young kids. I would take my lumps and say, look, I'm going to get better with that. I would nudge some kids out of the program. I try to go transfer portal and then, you know, keep recruiting as well as I can. But let's talk about tonight. I think it's going to be a very – let's start with basketball. I think it's going to be a very, very tough night for Missouri. And – if they can hang in the first 10 minutes, then all bets are off. But if they start getting the doors blown off in the first 10 minutes, Illinois will run away with that thing and it could get ugly.
Kofi should have 40 tonight.
He might.
I'm not kidding. There is nobody on Missouri's team that can defend Kofi Coburn in the interior. He should legitimately have 30 points and 20 rebounds. I am not overestimating it at all. If Illinois is smart, and they are, a very good basketball program with a great coaching staff. My game plan from the very beginning is we are getting the ball to Kofi. He is getting a touch at least on every single possession for the first like 5 to 6 minutes of the game, because there is nobody on the interior that Mizzou can put in on him.
They're not. And I wonder if they try to junk defense with him. You know,
they're going to have to
throw things at him like that, extend possessions as much as they can. Although I've watched some of the Missouri games, they try to extend possessions and they just don't have anybody can put it in the hole.
No. You know, you get to the end and you need somebody to be able to make that shot, and they don't have anybody to make the shot. They're one of the worst shooting teams in the country.
BK, they're 185th nationally in offensive efficiency, number 289 in offensive turnover percentage. That ain't good. And in terms of shooting threes, I mentioned this the other day. They had that like 4-game stretch where they had 8 threes total, something like that. But they're not shooting threes well. They're right around, I think, like 22. I was looking at the numbers last night, 22-23%.
Yeah, they're at 24%, which is good for 355th in the country. Dan, there are 357 teams in college basketball.
Yikes. KenPom. I always like to go into KenPom and looking at the projections of games. He's got a 76-62 win for Illinois over Mizzou tonight at Enterprise Center. And Illinois has, obviously, Coburn is a big-time player. You look at Grandison, you look at Plummer, you look at Trent Frazier. I mean, this is a good team, so yeah, it's going to be tough for them. Now, I know you really get into the football aspect of Mizzou and basketball, so don't. I'm not trying to disrespect you here. I wouldn't do
it's
that
my team,
to you.
Dan.
I know. So we got the Armed Forces Bowl tonight, which, by the way, I do wonder how that affects attendance for basketball. You know, if you're really a diehard Mizzou fan, you're win, lose, or draw, you're coming to the Bragging Rights game. If you're a diehard, you're probably going to football over basketball. And this year, especially when Mizzou basketball isn't that great, I wonder what the crowd is going to be like. I'm going to go back to basketball here for a second. I do wonder what the crowd is going to be like, knowing that the football team is in action. It's a bowl game. You don't have to travel that far if you wanted to go. You could drive there. I just, you know, it'll be curious to see how that thing plays out for the Mizzou crowd at Hoops.
I think there are a few issues. One, it's a midweek game for the Bragging Rights as opposed to being falling on the weekend. That always helps the attendance, especially when it's a night game. The other issue that you've got is the team just isn't very good and has given you no real reasons for optimism so far this year. The Utah game was nice. It was good to see Mizzou at least come out on top in that one and give themselves a chance to have some sort of stability this year. But when you've got a team that is really struggling the way that Mizzou has so far this season, and it's a midweek game, and you've got the football team playing on the same night, I wouldn't expect a big crowd for the basketball game compared to the typical crowd that you expect. You'll see some, but not the typical Bragging Rights crowd. The other issue, Dan, I don't know that you're going to see a big crowd for Mizzou down in Dallas either, just because it's not a game that a lot of people were really excited about, which is disappointing because I actually do think it's an intriguing matchup. Army's pretty darn good, and this is a game that could be legitimately intriguing, but I think for a lot of Mizzou fans, they were hoping for a different bowl game given the way that the season finished.
Well, let's face it. I mean, the conference chooses, they had 13 postseason eligible teams coming out of the SEC, and the last one to get the draw was Mizzou in this bowl. I had looked, just a couple of moments ago, line has jumped to 6.5 with Beatty out, so it was 3.5. Tyler Beatty will not play tonight. I would imagine there are some, I would guess this. I would think a lot of fans would look at it and go, you know what? I'm okay with him not playing. He's had a hell of a year. He's going to the NFL. He will get drafted. Running backs don't typically go, it seems like, unless you're just off the charts, very high. Mm-hmm. And he's got to think about his future. And the coaching staff even said that too. This isn't a national championship game. This is the Armed Forces Bowl, and I don't think you need to take that risk in getting hurt. I like the fact that, as a fan, I wish he was playing. Don't get me wrong. He gives Mizzou the best chance to win. However, this is about a young man's future, and you get hurt in that game, and you go, really, was it worth it? And, you know, a year from now, are people talking about the Armed Forces Bowl that you won or lost or didn't, you know, tied, whatever. I don't care. No. So let him sit out. Let him make sure he gets his best opportunity to get drafted high. And again, he's had a great year. So I have no problem with the decision that he made for he and his family. And ultimately, Eli Drinkwitz stepping up in a press conference a couple of days ago, I believe it was, or maybe even yesterday, and said, no, we met and we thought as a staff, this was probably the right thing to do.
Yeah, it was the absolute right decision. I was surprised all along that they were having him practice and that he was even giving it a consideration
probably
to play
didn't
in this
even game. They probably put a jersey on him and said, do not touch this
100%.
Young man.
There's no reason to. Like, he has done everything he needed to this year. He broke the single season rushing record. He was an unbelievable player for Mizzou. And now the next goal is very clear. Get drafted as high as you can. Go train for the draft and assert yourself well in the NFL next season. He doesn't need to be playing against Army in the Armed Forces Bowl. These games, I'm excited to watch this game
tonight.
I
actually think Mizzou wins this game. And Army, and it's no disrespect to Army, but I like, man, you know, Tanner, wipe that little smirk off your face.
I'm worried
about
their defense against the option without Martez Manuel.
I understand
a couple of their defensive linemen, and I am worried about what the offense is going to look like
without Beatty,
all-everything player
and a quarterback that really hasn't played all that much.
I think he'll be better. I'm not worried about the quarterback play.
Let me ask you this, though. Why do you make this decision for this bowl game and the Arkansas game you're waiting and other games you are waiting?
I don't get it.
That's kind of baffling to me, and that's something that does fall on the head coach and needs to be asked. Like, why would you do this here? And you made it an open competition going into this bowl game, which again, you've had a month or so to prepare for it, but clearly there were times when you probably needed to make that switch to move the ball or to just, you know, get something going, and he didn't do it.
Their quarterback was actively holding back the team for the last 3 weeks of the regular season.
Yeah, it's kind of baffling that they didn't do this.
I don't understand it at all. I didn't understand it at the time. I do think it is the right decision to go with Brady Cook in this game. I wouldn't mind it if they decided that Connor Bazelak is their third quarterback tonight and give Tyler Macon some opportunities as well. He can run. He's somebody that can bring some different elements to the offense that Bazelak just flat out cannot right now. So I think it's the right decision for tonight. I'm confused as to why they didn't make it earlier. The other thing on the Tyler Beatty decision, Dan, and I do think if you're a Mizzou fan and you're listening to this and you're down in Dallas right now, for example, I didn't love the way they handled it prior to yesterday. I do think they ultimately made the right decision in not having Tyler Beatty play. I don't like that if you're a Mizzou fan and you bought tickets, you did so believing that Tyler Beatty was going to play, and then the day before the game, they come out and say he's not going to be playing. I think that's wrong to do for your fans. I just think it's a little misleading and it's misguided. So I don't like the way they handled it, even though they came, in my opinion, to the right decision in the end.
By the way, let's see if you agree with this statement. Could this be the fastest bowl game?
Yes.
In terms of hours, minutes played that we see on the bowl schedule? I mean, Army is going to run and run and run. And, you know, Missouri is ranked number 124 out of 130 teams against the rush.
And they've been better.
They did. They were better against Arkansas. But then you had you had games against, I'd say Florida, the South Carolina game. I'm sorry, the Arkansas game was not good.
No.
Against the run. The other two were. But it's clear this is what Army does.
Army threw 100 times this year.
Right. They're going to pound
this season.
It. So the clock is going to run. And clock man, you know, you may want to get a look at that Mizzou offense, and you're going to walk away from this game going, I really didn't learn anything because they never had the ball.
They'll probably have 6 to 8 possessions, and normally
right.
They have like 15 to 20 in
exactly.
Your typical SEC up and down type of a game. So, yeah, it's going to go quick. I would expect it to be relatively low scoring, like 24-20, that type of a game. I think Mizzou probably covers, but I do think ultimately Army wins this one.
That's BK. I'm Danny Mack. BK back from his wedding. Great to have him back. And we will talk to Lou Korak. Some big news coming out of the National Hockey League. We'll do that next on 101 ESPN.
Back to more of the Danny Mack Show with BK on 101 ESPN.
Lou Korak covers the St. Louis Blues day in and day out. That's BK. I'm Danny Mack. Tanner with us as well. And it's 10:39 here in St. Louis. Getting ahead of myself. Then I was going to go back to 9:39. I was like, no, it's not 9:39. It's 10:39 here in St. Louis, BK. So let's welcome in Lou Korak. Hey, Lou, happy holidays to you. And thanks for hopping on again with us. We always appreciate your time.
Absolutely, guys. How are you?
Doing well. Let's start with this. Just the postponement of games until after the Christmas holiday. What's your reaction to that? What do you think the league reaction is? The Blues players' reaction? Just a general thought on shutting down some of these games.
Well, it's been all over the place, obviously. We, let's start with the Blues. We heard from a couple of them a couple of days ago after the Winnipeg game. And I think there's just a sense of maybe some growing frustration of some of these guys just want to play hockey, and you've heard it. And I know, people are on both sides of whether they are with them or against them. You know, this is a pandemic that you're dealing with here. How could you have such selfish feelings? Yada, yada, yada. I've heard everything here, but I think these guys are, they feel like they're fully vaccinated. Guys are showing, the majority of them anyway, that I've heard are showing mild to relatively no symptoms. They're wondering why they're getting tested so much. All this stuff keeps coming up, and guys just want to, you get the growing sense that they just want to play hockey. Personally, guys, I really, you're shutting things down for what, 4 days here? I don't know what's going to change between now and when these guys are allowed to return to the ice again on Sunday, and that's when the Blues are going to come back and practice, and, fingers crossed, they're going to resume their schedule on Monday against the New Jersey Devils here. But this is where the league is at. I mean, they feel like, they have to do something, with them testing as much as and as often as they are with these players. Cases are growing. Guys are going into isolation. They're going into protocol. And teams, you know, multiple teams are getting strapped and really to no end here right now. So they feel like they need to do something, whether just this small pause is going to be enough. Personally, I don't know how much this is going to help, but they feel like it's going to. So this is the first step in what I feel is an ongoing and a fluid situation, really.
So, Lou, I'm with you. I don't know how much change is really out of this. I think this probably was more about, hey, during the holidays, let's not try to get these guys caught up in Canada. And I think that's part of the issue here for the league is, okay, so the NFL can go to this new testing protocol where basically it's don't ask, don't tell. We'll see what happens. And hopefully nobody comes up positive later on. Nobody comes down with symptoms. It's tougher for the NHL, at least based on everything that I understand, to do that because they have so many teams up in Canada where everything is just different with COVID right now. How does this league move forward with those teams, and in particular with the teams going up to Canada on these road trips if players do test positive? How does that play into some of the decisions moving forward?
Well, that's another great question. And, you know, I think that's, we saw it firsthand here. That's what the Blues are dealing with. I mean, they were in Canada, they were in Winnipeg and ready to, you know, move on over to Ontario to play Ottawa and obviously Toronto tomorrow. And that's certainly not going to happen. And, you know, rightfully so, some of these guys were concerned, you know, what if somebody winds up getting tested positive up there? Well, you know, it's, you know, different set of circumstances in Canada. You're going to have, you know, you're going to be stuck up there. You're going to be quarantined. You're going to be taken away from your families. And I think from that standpoint, they were probably glad to get back to St. Louis. And you're going to be dealing with that. And that's, I think, where the league felt like, as opposed to some of, you know, the NFL, NBA, baseball, obviously not dealing with anything right now during the off season. They got other issues they're dealing with too, but you know, I think that's where hockey comes into play here because you're dealing with so much as far as Canada is concerned. Now, I know there's an NBA team in Canada, so, you know, they're going to have to take a look at that as well. But different set of circumstances to what you're dealing with here and what you're dealing with up there. So, you know, it's a great question. I wish I had an answer for you guys, but I really don't. And I think that's why this is just going to continue to be a fluid situation until they get this figured out.
Lou, is it far-fetched to try to relocate the Canadian teams to the States? And you've got concerts, you got college venues, you've got, you got all kinds of things. NBA basketball, they share these venues. Is there any way that that could possibly happen to try to get this season in?
Boy, that's a tough one, Dan, to be honest with you. That I think that would be a last resort.
Sure.
That's just an area, you know, Canadian fans are so passionate. I mean, you saw it last week when Montreal became the first team to, you know, they played a game against the Philadelphia Flyers and no fans. And there was a pretty good outcry among Canadian fans. And we saw the situation they were in when they made the run to the Stanley Cup final. There were so many people outside of Bell Center just wanting to be a part of, you know, something historic again for them. And, that I think that would be a last resort, but you know, until something can get done, until you know we can, as a society, you know, get a curb on this, and I don't know if that's ever going to happen. I think everything is on the table. You know, you have to consider everything here, and I know that the league is set on getting in a full season here, and that's why I think they haven't taken any measures beyond what we're seeing with these 4 days right now, because you know, they're trying to take baby steps here to see if there's anything that they can do without jeopardizing 82 games for all of these teams. So while I think your idea is on the table, that would probably be one of the last resorts that they would rather not go down.
Lou Koric is our guest here on 101 ESPN. He covers the Blues for NHL.com. You can give him a follow on Twitter at LKorak10. All right, Lou, I want to ask about the Blues because while I've been out for my honeymoon, this gentleman by the name of Charlie Lindgren has apparently become a theme. I don't know what's happening here because he's won 5 straight games. My co-host Alex Ferrario seems to believe this guy should have been starting over the weekend over the number one starter that he's been telling me is a top 10 goaltender all year in Jordan Binnington. What am I supposed to make of Charlie Lindgren, and does this guy have a real future here in St. Louis?
Well, you guys are tossing all the good questions out there. That's another one. I mean, did anybody see this happening? No.
No.
Not in a million years. I
was all over it, actually, Lou. I knew this guy was going to come in and just emerge, and we have a goalie controversy. It was no big deal, but go ahead.
Yeah. How could Montreal just allow a guy like that to get away? It's amazing, you know? But no, listen, it's a great story, but you know what? I think it's just a product of a guy that maybe didn't have a lot of success where he was at before, and you get thrust into a different situation, and things can change for you. I mean, a lot of it's about confidence, and you just get a sense in talking to this guy and just watching his mannerisms and watching the way he plays. There's just a belief when he's out there that, you know, he believes in the guys in front of him. And then once the guys in front of him saw what this guy was doing, it was resonating back towards him. You know, the team has confidence in him. So to be honest with you, I actually thought it was the right call to get Binnington back in. I mean, listen, he's missed seven games. And now this shutdown, you know, of a few days is probably worse for him than anything, because, you know, he probably needs to get games in and just to get himself back into a routine. But this is a dilemma right now. I mean, you know, you've got a guy that's playing well, a fan base that's really gravitated around him now, and you've got Billy Husso, who's back on the ice. I always said about goalies, you know, three's a crowd, and that's never truer than at the goaltending position. So they're going to have to make a decision here, what they're going to do with that. You know, I don't think they anticipated this guy doing what he was doing, but what a great problem to have, because let's face it, without his contributions and the guys that had to step in for the injured and the guys that were out due to COVID, you know, Lord knows where this team would be at right now. But 7-2-3, I believe, in their last 12 games, that's a pretty good run considering the guys that they've had out of the lineup.
Lou, my final question would be about the Olympics. We got official word today. NHL players will not participate in the Olympics. I don't think that's any surprise for anybody. But is that going to be the time when they're going to try to just load it up, if we're all playing games, and say, look, even if we could send guys over there, and if they tested positive, wouldn't have to quarantine for 4 to 5 weeks, that we just can't logistically do this because we got to get these games in, and this is the 2-week window to do it.
100%. I mean, you're at what, 50 games, and, you know, possibly being more, you know, that could get canceled here as we move along while everything is fluid. I mean, and you're right. With the protocols that are supposedly were in place there, you could just get a ever-growing sense from these players that the uncertainty just, you know, didn't fit what they wanted. And while a lot of these guys are down about it, because listen, you know, these guys take the Olympics pretty seriously. I mean, you know, and just talking to the few Blues guys we talked to yesterday that were, you know, potential hopefuls for their respective countries. I mean, you know, they all have one common denominator here that, you know, there's nothing like representing your country. And I think everybody would love that opportunity to get that chance. But with what we're dealing with here, I think there's an understanding that this just wasn't going to work out. You know, I think maybe, again, as kind of a last resort, some of these guys are maybe even hopeful that the Olympics altogether wouldn't go off in 2022 and maybe get pushed back to 2023 and give them a little bit of a hope again of maybe participating a year later, but you know, that probably isn't going to happen. So, you know, you got to look ahead to 2026 now. And for some of these guys that maybe saw this as their last chance, it probably hits them hardest, but I think they understand that if they're going to get 82 game season in, which is what all these guys want, you're going to have to use this window to make up a lot of these games now that are going to have to get rescheduled.
Hey, Lou, as always, great information on the Blues and the NHL. Appreciate your time. Have a great Christmas, and we'll catch up very soon.
You too, guys. Have a good one. Take care.
You too. That is Lou Korak. Does a great job covering the St. Louis Blues. We'll cross it over when we come back on 101 ESPN.
Back to more of the Danny Mac Show with BK on 101 ESPN.
A show change when you were gone, BK.
Oh,
yep. Should I enlighten you here now, or do you need to find out when the show happens?
I would imagine 11 to 2.
It was 11-2, and it's now coined Tanner and Company.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like T-Bone and Company, but I understand.
And you're part of the company. You're not a frontliner anymore.
I get it.
Tanner's all over it.
When you take 2 weeks off, I think you lose all ability to be able to question such a move.
Yes. Tanner and Company. Isn't that right, T-Bone?
That's right. T-Bone took over.
Mm-hmm.
The T-Bone takeover from 11-2. Maybe that's the new name of the
T-Bone takeover.
Show.
I like that, too.
I like it.
As long as your name is first, right?
Yeah. Or if it's just the only one, yeah, that's fine, too.
The only one.
Does that mean a change in your check?
I hope so.
Yeah,
from what I understand, Tanner is making, like, afternoon money now in the middays.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that true, Tanner?
Yeah. He got the drive time slot. When you become the number one producer, Dan.
I don't have a Peloton yet, so okay. No, it doesn't put me there.
That Peloton and I got in a fight last night.
All right, we got BK and Ferrario coming up. You're back with Alex. What do you guys have coming up on the show?
I don't know, Dan. I think we're going to talk about some hockey or something.
Okay.
No, but in all seriousness, Charlie Lindgren, he's become a sensation here in St. Louis. I was listening on Monday, Dan. I was listening to the show because I thought I was coming back on Tuesday.
We found out that you didn't. And then yeah. Tanner took a step down when our guest didn't appear.
I'll be damned if mm-hmm. Alex Ferrario, in the open of the show on Monday, he said that Charlie Lindgren should get starts over his boy, Jordan Binnington. I've got some issues with
I'm not going there yet. I'm not going there with the guy that brought you the cup, and all of a sudden you're out because of COVID and you're trying to get back. I'm not there yet.
Pipped while you're out in COVID?
No,
so
I'm not there yet.
We'll talk about that to open things up. We're going to get into a Ferrario 5 today. It is the illustrious return of the Ferrario 5. And the NBA, yesterday, Adam Silver had some really interesting comments on how they're going to push forward with COVID.
He's come out and said, we're not shutting down.
I think at this point, with what we've seen from the NFL and the NBA, it's very clear we're just going to have to live with this thing. And now the question is, how do we do that? How does that happen in sports in the safest way possible? We'll talk about that coming up at the top of the 12 o'clock hour.
So tomorrow, I was going to do it today, but then we got into your wedding and all that stuff, which was much better. But I thought we should get into like 10 storylines or 10 athletes. We can mix and match both okay. to look ahead for 2022.
Ooh, there's a lot of stories here in St. Louis.
Yeah,
I mean, you could do just like the top five Cardinal storylines.
Absolutely,
and it's loaded.
That's why I had five, and I was like, I got to go to 10.
I like
so,
it.
So I think that'd be fun. We'll do that tomorrow.
Let's do it.
All right, looking forward to that. Looking forward to your show. Great to have you back, and congratulations once again. So BK and Ferrario coming up next on 101 ESPN.